If you do not have an outline, do we have any more or no? No more? Okay, well, I'm sorry, Tavian, you might have to share. And I have the answer key. I don't have any extras up here unless somebody wants to, Josh wants the answer key. All right, well, I'm sorry, you can't have it. All right, well, it's good to see you guys. If you would please turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings 21. We started this, oh, by the way, the teenagers, once again, will stay here, so you'll have to put up with me, but hopefully you'll be able to finish the outline, amen? So, 1 Kings 21, I should have it open right here, yeah, there you go, 1 Kings 21, and we'll go ahead and read this account once again in order to give some context, and then we'll pick up where we left off last week. 1 Kings 21, verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. Pretty intense stuff today. But God is serious about sin. And he's made it very clear here in this account with Ahab. All right, let's go ahead and pray and we will pick up. All right, dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for putting encouraging passages in the Bible. And thank you for putting these warnings, some of the hard things to understand, some of maybe is not accustomed to our culture today, but is your word, and it is pure, and it is here for a reason. Thank you for it. I ask that we could glean from this, would our hearts be convicted, and would we grow because of it? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so 1 Kings 21. It's interesting, God has, I say a habit, but he enjoys, in my opinion, connecting our memory verse with the Sunday school lesson. And today it says Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And obviously, when we look in the history of the Old Testament, there are certain people we would like to name our children after, and others we would not. My dad was in Gary, I believe, and there was a young child whose name was Herod. And if you know the Bible, you know that's not somebody you want your child named after. But they said, well, it's in the Bible, we're going to name our child Herod. All right? And not a good name to name your child, okay? Ahab is another one of those. But what's interesting is Ahab demonstrated behavior after he sinned, he demonstrated behavior that we do, even though we don't worship Baal. He kind of acted like us sometimes because he's a human being. So the first point for those that, just to review, discernment, Roman numeral one, discernment of the present. If you notice, it's probably going to be pretty easy to pick out the Roman numerals today. Letter A is God knows the man, and letter B, God knows the motives. That was from last week. This week, discernment of the past, and Roman numeral 3, you can guess, discernment of the future. But we'll be discernment of the past starting here today. I hope to finish the outline today. Letter A, God knows what happened. Now that isn't a shocker, but I do believe that there's a gap between what we know to be true and what we live to be true. That's the difference between somebody that fears the Lord and doesn't. You know, the Bible says that the devils fear and tremble. There are people that say, I believe in God. Great. It's a good start, but it isn't getting the devils in heaven. There has to be more. Not works, but a repentance and a belief and trust in the gospel. We know that to be true. But when we walk in our lives, the fear of the Lord has been described to me aptly, I believe, as a constant recognition that God is watching. A constant recognition that God is watching. Now, I am no angel when it comes to going a little bit over the speed limit, okay? Sometimes when I'm concentrating, I'm thinking about something, I keep pressing on the gas harder and harder and harder and harder because I'm so concentrated at what I'm doing, all of a sudden I realize I am speeding way too much. Okay, then I have to cool off, just focus on the lines, you know, stop thinking about whatever I'm studying or what a conversation I had just had or whatnot. But I was driving back southbound on I-15 from Blackfoot about a week ago, and I know that I'm a little biased against Ram trucks. I'm sorry, Brother Sheffield, if you can hear me. It always seems like Ram truck drivers are the most aggressive people on the road. Yeah, I see you right there. I see you. You waved at me. They are, okay? I'm sorry. It's just a thing, okay? And there, as you know, Blackfoot's having some problems with their bridges. I don't know, but two of them have been run into, and so both of them are almost completely or partially out of service. And so there's a lane blocked, and I'm driving my mail Jeep, which doesn't do well on highways, and so I'm doing the speed limit. They slowed us down to 65. I'm doing 65. And, of course, it was a Ram 2500 series that whips right past us just to get in the lane as the lane ends. You've seen it, okay? I know I'm not the only one that's seen this. And you've probably seen a Ram truck do it, too, okay? So, and anyway, it's a thing. And what the guy didn't realize was there was a cop sitting right there. Oh, yeah. And I just drove through, and as soon as traffic got through that little bottleneck, the cop came whipping around and pulled him over. You ever notice, though, you may not even be speeding, but as soon as you see a cop, you tap on your brakes. There was one time I was going under the speed limit. I saw a cop, and I tapped on my brakes. I'm like, why did I do that? You know? God is bigger than a cop. He isn't a cop. He's a loving Lord. Don't get me wrong. But many times we live as if he's not watching. Isn't that true? Well, we know here, but our feet don't follow. Jeremiah 23, 24 says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. It would take a lot to fill heaven and earth. 1 Kings 21 through 19 says something very interesting. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession. Now, if you're familiar, I hope you are, with the account, Ahab didn't actually kill Naboth with his own hands, did he? Ahab went, asked Naboth to sell something that God had commanded him not to, his land. It was his inheritance, and God said in Deuteronomy, you're not supposed to do this. This is yours forever. It's to keep your name alive. Property ownership is biblical, amen? That's just on the side. But God, you're not going to do it. Naboth says, hey, you know, even if I wanted to, he didn't say, I'm Americanizing it, okay? Even if I wanted to, I can't. God told me no. And he got mad and went and pouted on his bed. Now, when I get irritated, I have an ice cream. It cools me off a little bit. In my opinion, you've got to be pretty immature to go and pout on your bed when you're a grown man. Friends, you know that's all he did? Jezebel was the one that ordered the murder of Naboth. But who does God say killed Naboth? This is where a wicked king is acting like sometimes we do. Now, I assume that nobody in this building worships Baal. I hope not. Okay? I'd be shocked if that was. You're obviously here because you believe in Jesus Christ. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. Right? Amen. But sometimes, like I say, we can believe something here and not believe it here. First off, I want to look at the guilt of Ahab. This isn't a blank to fill in, but if you there's, I like this because there's more space to write. If you want to, you can write it in, the guilt of Ahab. Why in the world would God say, hey, ask this rhetorical question. We know it's basically a statement of truth with a question mark. I loved what Pastor Kirkman said. Don't put question marks where God puts periods. That was really good. I looked over at Sarah. I said, write that down. Sarah's the note taker. I'm the Bible holder. You know, we work as a team. But that was really good. I mean, amazing. I loved it. But when God asks a rhetorical question, it's really a conviction from the judge of all the earth. You've done this, haven't you? Yeah. Hast thou killed? Well, Ahab just went to his bed and pouted. But one, guilt of Ahab. He promoted the evil deeds by his sullen behavior. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever acted a certain way because you knew it would get a certain response from an individual around you? I hear this, there's this thing called man flu, right? I have not tapped into this yet, but I hear that their guys are man cold, that's what they call it, where a husband will get mildly sick and act like it's worse so he can get his wife's attention and get him, you know, get her whatever. Nothing wrong with that, okay? I haven't done it. I just take DayQuil and go to work. Maybe I'll try it sometime, you know? But you know you're going to get a response. You know you're going to get a response. Ahab knew his wife, didn't he? He knew he was going to get a response. He knew his behavior would result, and he was guilty. Sometimes we may not necessarily be the one that pulls the trigger on a specific sin. But we know that somebody else who has no qualms about doing that thing, I'm not going to fill in the blank, you can, has no qualms about it, and if we act a certain way, we can get them to do what we want. In God's eyes, that makes us guilty, doesn't it? Secondly, Ahab, did not stop the murder or the theft when it was in his power to do it. Now, I like the news, and I've been on this thing where I'm trying to cut back. Why? Because spiritually, it's not good for our spiritual, our soul. I just don't think it is to absorb that much, okay? Also, biologically, this is on a side note, for the last, whatever, 5,000, 6,000 years of humanity, if you saw something happen that was horrible, you were actually there. Does that make sense? So if you saw a murder, you saw the murder. If you saw a theft, you were there. If you saw a riot, you were there. If you saw war, you were part of the warscape. We don't have to. We can be sitting in an air-conditioned home and a $700 Lazy Boy on a $1,500 iPhone and be panicking because we're watching war 5,000 miles away. That doesn't make the war less real, but it does mean it's not good for us, okay? Our body starts reacting like we're actually seeing what's happening, and we're not. So yes, there are things in life that we need to recognize, what can I do about this problem? By the way, you start doing this, I don't know how spiritual this is, you'll be a lot more peaceful, okay? When you start identifying, hey, I'm so worried about this one thing, I find for me it's the news, right? What can I do about this? Okay, so A, if I cannot do anything about this, I need to stop watching it or thinking about it. Okay, B, if there is something I can do about it, I'm going to do it. You've resolved both of the worries, and you're happier, okay? Chapter and verse for that, I don't really know, okay? But then, on the other hand, there are things that you can control. Ahab was the literal king. He could have stopped this, couldn't he? And he didn't. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. That was his second point of guilt. Thirdly, after the deed was done, he wasn't exactly mourning, was he? He was happy to take possession of the land. We as believers may not participate in the acts that we would disagree with, we'd have moral qualms with, but we don't often mind profiting from it. Now, I haven't completely figured out what I'm going to do, but I have a 401k. Obviously, at my age, it's not very big. I haven't had time to build it, but I try. I trust God for my future, but I also believe he has principles to live by, and I try to be wise. And I'm kind of wondering if it's the best thing to invest in companies that produce material that I would have moral qualms with. Yeah. Should we be investing in Budweiser? This is where the rubber meets the road. Does that make sense? Like, this is what I'm dealing with. So if you're not dealing with this, I'm sorry. Okay? But this is something I'm struggling with, and I'm gonna raise my hand and say, look, I haven't totally figured it out yet, because like the post office doesn't offer a lot of options to be specific in my investing. And but I believe there are options out there where you can invest in companies that aren't producing whatever, substances that people abuse, pornography, and so on. The movie industry, so on. This is where the rubber meets the road. I don't think I'm looking at a bunch of drug-addled alcoholics, am I? What do we have problems with? I think this is more down our alley, isn't it? Do we profit from things that we may have, we would never participate in? Ahab didn't actually murder Naboth. He didn't even order it. But he was happy to take possession of the vineyard. It's convicting, isn't it? I'm convicted right now because I can't figure out how to get my thrift savings plan to do this, you know? Fourthly and lastly, of his guilt, he refused to punish the wrongdoers. He refused to punish the wrongdoers. Did you know we're supposed to love people? But the Bible has this word called abhor. We're supposed to abhor sin. We don't believe in these words very much, do we? I was singing a song, I think it was at a senior center, and they provided hymnals, and they took the word wretch out and replaced it with sinner or something like that. We don't like these strong words as much anymore. Yesterday, I was... God, I believe it was the hand of God. I was witnessing to a neighbor of a lady that rides her bus. And 2 hours, he was so close to getting saved, but he's holding on to his works. and happy to have us in. He's my parents' age, but he looks older than anybody in this room. He's an alcoholic. And I left that so heartbroken over him and honestly furious at what the devil had done to him. We're to abhor what destroys lives, not the people. There are certain groups of people, I think you know who I'm talking about, that, frankly, they look very strange. They have rings in their nose like they're a bull at some cattle farm. And the answer is, A, not to take pleasure in their sin. You say, how do I do that? You ever watch a show that just kind of jokes around about that lifestyle? But the other answer is not to be hateful to them. I'm reminded of a couple who I don't believe it was, I believe in a strange way it was real marriage. The man, the actual male, thought the other who looked like a male was a male, but it was actually a woman who was, it was just totally perverted. They got quote unquote married and they got saved, and the one has since detransitioned, and it's actually an amazing story. What led them to Jesus was the love of Christ. But they also had to realize that Satan was the one who had them in bondage. And they actually had to despise the shackles and love the prisoner. Ahab's response. Now, this again is not something in the outline. I'm sorry. I did extra research for this week, and it's not in the outline, but I loved it, so I just put it in there. Hope you don't mind. Verse 20, it says, and Ahab said to Elijah, when Elijah showed up in Naboth's vineyard. Remember last week, there was a quote that said something like, you know, God kept Ahab from enjoying the sweetness of his sin. Elijah showed up right when Ahab was going and walking through and admiring what he had taken in his own possession. And look at the words of Ahab. Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? Piggybacking off of what I just said, was Elijah actually the enemy of Ahab? If Ahab listened to the words of Elijah his entire life, Ahab's life would have gone well. So, was Elijah the enemy of Ahab? No. Many times, we will look at people who speak truth to us when we do not want to hear it, and we will think they are our enemy. A.W. Pink said this, "Those who are engaged in evil doing are annoyed at him who detects them, whether he be a minister of Christ or a policeman." I watched a video online, and I'm not trying to pick on a certain minority, but there was a certain individual, he was an African American, and he was showing the rest of his friends that the police aren't really the problem. He did something goofy like some gymnastics, some like, I can't do it, I guarantee you. Okay? And the police were just sitting there watching him, I don't know, drinking coffee and eating donuts or something like that. They didn't arrest him. They didn't do anything. But what was his point? The police aren't the problem. If you're not doing wrong, they're not going to come after you. But oftentimes, we look at people and we say, they're the enemy. When the enemy is the shackles that are around our wrists. That's the enemy. B, God knows why it happened. This goes back to this idea that we know that God sees everything, and we know in our minds that God sees the intents of our hearts. He understands why we do certain things. God actually discerns that and he judges that. Notice in verse 20, it continues, and he answered, I have found thee. Why? Because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, when you've heard of people who sell their soul, normally we come to mind, for the conspiracy theorists out there, we think of the Illuminati, right? For other people, we think of the most deranged, decadent celebrity who hates God. And sometimes I wonder if really they just have a higher price tag. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, have you ever been tempted to do something instead of obeying God at a period of time because you know there was a benefit to that? If I were to work on Sundays, I could get Sunday premium. You guys get that? No? I told my boss I wouldn't do it, right? There are some people that'll do that. Now, if I got Sunday premium, is it 20 or 30%, somewhere in there? Yeah. Let's call it, with everything, $300. I would be selling my morals for $300. That's cheap, friends. That's cheap. And we have been bought with the blood of Christ. Amen. That's expensive. It's hard words, but I've often wondered, God would call his Jewish people, his chosen people, whom he loved, adulterous. He goes, you have committed adultery with me with these dumb idols. He'd call them dumb idols, okay? I didn't say it. Well, I just verbalized it, but I didn't make it up. When Jesus Christ shed his blood to pay for our eternal life, and we sell out for $300, we're not even designer brands. We're at Westwood Discount. Isn't the blood of Jesus worth more than that to you? I would never sell my soul to the Illuminati. No, but you'd sell it for overtime. Maybe not you, but there's a temptation. You see how we can preach on everybody else's sin and completely miss our own. Roman numeral 3, I'll be quick, I'll get off our sin, amen? Or no? Discernment of the future. Discernment of the future. You probably already guessed this. But God knows proper justice. God knows proper justice. The famous question, why do bad things happen to good people, can be often answered that good people sin too. And also, every generation, the results of sin compound. And every generation, by the way, God doesn't have any grandchildren. He only has children. But what you pass on to other people, to your children, can either compound for good or compound for evil. Why do certain societies tend to thrive and others fail in the same country with the same rights and privileges? Actions compound generationally. Your actions affect your kids. Not present tense, they have affected your kids. They are affecting your kids, and they will affect your kids. At my darkest place questioning, before I was born again, by the way, I was affected by other family members who largely did not live the Christian life, but I was questioning certain aspects of the Bible, whether I was born again or not. The one thing that anchored me was my father on his knees in the living room. Same time, same length of time, every day. Never missed. I can still picture him in our original house on Stonewall Lane in Indiana. I can picture the lazy boy. Do you know that I have a hard time building good habits? I think like anybody else. I try to exercise. I think I exercised twice this week. Not my goal, okay? Twice, but it's something, right? I try to read. I study hard for my Sunday school lessons. I try to do other reading to fill my soul and heart with good things. I feel like when you feed your soul, it overflows to other people and you can be a blessing. I have a hard time being faithful with that. Do you know the one thing that, not by my own strength, comes naturally? Every morning I step out of bed, I go and I get a cup of coffee, that was also my parents, and I go to my recliner and I pick up my Bible and I read it. Never miss a day. Your actions are being watched. You know, there's an old saying that says, character is what you do when nobody is watching. There was a individual that said that to a coworker, and the coworker that he said it to looked back and told him, yes, but there's always somebody watching. There's always somebody watching. And it's not just God either. Now, God should be enough. But people are looking for the treasures of heaven. We need to display it. B, God knows proper judgment. Now, justice and judgment are related. I'm going to read here. This was very helpful for me. I hope it is for you. It says, we might say that the fulfillment of justice is complete when proper judgment is made and carried out. Think of justice as an ongoing virtue, while judgment is an event in which justice is carried out. If you want that full quote, get it from me later. I did not write that, but that was super helpful to clarify that for me. But God knows proper judgment. Psalm 89, 14 says, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. What's your habitation? Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Proverbs 21, 3, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Second Chronicles 19:7, wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God. We never have to worry that God will do wrong to us. Never. Nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Quickly, I'm going to close with this. You wouldn't want a God that takes bribes, and we shouldn't either. Some of you may have already heard this. My dad probably wouldn't tell on himself because he likes to be meek, and I appreciate that. There was one time when I heard that some of my fellow friends whose fathers, were also on staff at our church were going on a special trip. And I was a little jealous. I wanted to go on this trip. It was being paid for by one of the wealthiest men in our church. We wouldn't have had to pay anything. We could get to stay in a beautiful home. This was before Airbnbs. We could fish for a week, and it was just going to be great. Just guys, you know, eat as much as we want. And I asked my dad, why aren't we going? And he goes, son, I could have gone, but that individual who wants to take us doesn't want certain things preached on. And I trust that even if I went on that trip, I would still preach truth, but I want to keep my integrity. Now, we may never be put in that position, but God never takes bribes. He's always steady. He's always just. And most of the time, I hope we're on the side of Naboth. And the encouragement I want to give to you today is this. Leave justice and retribution to God. He does it best. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for Naboth. Lord, I'm sure he's in heaven right now, and he's been able to rejoice with you for thousands of years. Lord, thank you for the peace that you offer through your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask that we would live in the reality of that. Holy Spirit, would you empower the preaching this morning, the music? Would it be honoring to you? Would we praise your name? Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. About 9 minutes before the morning service starts.